so good. It feels so good to be free. I've been born again, free from sin, and I'm a child of the King. So glad to be walking in grace and liberty. I'm here to tell the world that it feels so good to be free. It feels so good to be free.
I've been
born again, free from sin, and I'm a child of the King. So glad to be walking in grace and liberty. I'm here to tell the world that it feels so good to be free.
Sin has been defeated.
New man, I've been justified, sanctified, washed by the blood of the Lamb. It feels so good. It feels so good to be free. I've been born again, free from sin, and I'm a child of the King. So glad to be walking in grace and liberty. New man, I've been justified, sanctified, washed by the blood of the Lamb. It feels so good. It feels so good to be free. I've been born again, free from sin, and I'm a child of the King. So glad to be walking in grace and
appreciate the Lord today, don't you?
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. What a way to start the service, amen. But you know, the world might see that as, oh, I'm so proud of America. But you know, those of us know Jesus Christ, we're proud that he founded America, or he was founded upon his name. Yes. Might not look like it today, but that's the way it was founded upon God. And that's what I'm thankful for. Amen. Let's pray before we start our service today. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, on this day. Lord, that I can give glory to you. Lord, that I can teach your word, Lord, and I pray, God, that you will touch each heart here today and let them receive something, Lord, from this message. Lord, because we know all of thy word is true. Lord, and all of thy word is profitable for all that hear. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. I'm glad for this opportunity again to do something for God. You know, this life passes by pretty quickly. And if you don't do anything to make a difference, then you've missed it all. Amen. But I appreciate the Lord today that I have this opportunity to serve him. And our lesson today is the heart and the hope of a Christian. Amen. Our focus verse is Proverbs 16:18. Be not corrupt, pride goeth before destruction, and a hardy spirit before a fall. You know, there's something that we pay very little attention to around in the churches today. Certainly other churches, I'm certain, that we don't pay much attention to pride. Now, I could ask the one here to stand if you never had any problem with pride. I couldn't find a one, but you know, God said he hated it. But it's just the way the things go today. I mean, I got up this morning, and I'm pretty sure there was a spark of pride in there somewhere. So if you think you got nothing to pray for yourself. Amen, because pride cometh before fall. Amen. And God don't think very much of it. But we have hope in Christ Jesus. The lesson today, the heart of the Christian. Let me read that again. Get it right here. The heart and the hope of a Christian. Now, I could ask any one of you to get up and tell me what your hope is in Christ Jesus, and most all of you would be pretty close or right. Because we know that our hope is that we want to escape the damnations of hell. And that we come to Jesus Christ because we feared God. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. So that's the reason we come to God. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. Now, if you give hope to anything else, amen, you're wrong, because there was no hope before Christ got here. And there certainly wouldn't be no hope for you if you didn't have him. Amen. And him and him alone is your salvation. Amen. But we have a work after that. I'm going to read something here to you. Ephesians 2 and 7. This is concerning our hope in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen. This is a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Amen. It's a gift of God. It wasn't nothing that we could do. For ages and ages this world went on, there was no gift. There was no Christ. People was without hope. You can read the Bible all the way through. You can find out how hopeless they were. They just pushed their sins, keep pushing them ahead of them. And I could imagine they thought, well, what's the use? But see, God had a plan. And if they understood that plan, amen, they know that God had a Redeemer in mind. Amen. But the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. I thank God because if I had to depend on myself, you know what, I'd still be hopeless. But through him, amen, I'm saved. And through him, I can speak of his word. And through him, I can come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. I can come right up there. Amen. And I can ask God for forgiveness of my sins. Amen. He'll forgive me, and I'll get baptized in Jesus' name, and he'll fill me with the Holy Ghost, according to his word. And if that part of it ain't true, none of the rest of it's true either. But the thing of it is, it's all true. Amen. Verse 4, Ephesians 2, verse 4, okay. For we are his workmanship, I think it's 7, 8, and 9. Is that right? Anybody keeping up? 2, 2 and 4. Okay, I'm right. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, new creatures. We are created in Christ Jesus. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We're not the same anymore. Amen. We're new creatures. Amen. We're something that never was before. Never was before Christ. It was not creatures like we are. Never before Christ did they have the hope that we have today. Amen. Let's finish it though. New creatures in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. We're saved by grace. There's nothing, we know that. We didn't have anything to do that but repent and trust in him that we had grace. But after we have grace, amen, hope will cause you to move on into God. Hope causes us to act. Just because you have grace, you shouldn't have lost your fear of God. And it's still the fear of God that causes us to move on into perfection. Paul said, I have not yet attained perfection, but he said, this is one thing I do. I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. God wants a people. We are his chosen people. Amen. He wants us to be like a chosen people. He wanted us to be Christ-like. He said, let this spirit that be in Christ Jesus be also in you. Amen. We have to build upon this foundation which is laid by Christ Jesus. We have our salvation. That's our hope. We know that hope is in Christ Jesus. That's our hope. But now we've got this heart. The heart and hope of the Christian. Now I've got this guy to deal with. He was a mess, so I had a lot to deal with. Amen. I had a lot of things to overcome. Amen. There was a time that I wouldn't have any business being up here. Amen. But let's read 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. And that tells us that we are to build with a humble heart. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So our work is not done. The foundation has been laid. If all you do is lay a foundation, you never build up on the house. Nobody's ever going to live in that house because there's no house to live in. Amen. But we build upon that foundation, but we are to be careful how that we build upon that foundation. 3:11, 1 Corinthians. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is in Christ Jesus. No other foundation. He laid it. Amen. It's all about him. Amen. But we, man, as it said in our focus verse, pride goeth before destruction and haughty spirit before fall. Amen. We have this proud spirit that we've got to deal with. You know what? Pride, you say money is a root. The love of money is the root of all evil, but the pride is the root of all sin. And why do we ignore pride? Because, oh, you're having trouble with this, we might preach on that. You're having trouble with this, we'll preach on that. If you're having trouble with this thing, well, we'll get that one. You know what causes it all? Pride. But yet we go right around it. But it's something that God said he hateth, and it's something that we are to look at. I think probably more than we do. We say, well, I don't see God ever moving. I don't see anything happening. Maybe we've got too much pride. Remember what Satan got kicked out of heaven for? He had a proud heart. And if we walk into church with all of our pride and all the things of this life, of this world, we have that all consuming us. And we say, God, why don't you move? We get mad at God, and he's trying to get us, amen, to look to him. But we like it. We just get proud. I mean, I have this to teach today. And you know, even you get up in the morning, you put on your nice tie, your nice shirt, and all these things. And, you know, that's all right. But God wants you to put it in his perspective. God wants us to put it where it belongs. Amen. Don't be so proud-hearted. You get proud-hearted, God can't move. Amen. Maybe we suffer from sickness. Maybe we're suffering from different things. The Bible says, examine yourself, see if even you be of the faith. Amen. We know good, we know evil. Amen. Satan knew good and evil too. He had a choice, because his choice was to try to set himself up as equal with God. And we have these choices today. And if you have pride, now you're going to come up with the same thing that Satan came up with. Amen. We can't serve God with a proud heart. Not if we want to see God move. That's the number one thing that we got to get rid of. Amen. Because God will not move in a proud heart. James 4 and 6 says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to them that are humble. Now you have two promises here. You have a promise that God resists the proud, and you have a promise that he giveth grace to the humble. If we want the things of God, maybe we just need to humble ourselves a little more. Maybe this is what God is waiting on. Maybe we're just not humble enough. Amen. You know, you find in the churches you have cliques and that sort of thing. You know what that is? That's pride. And sometimes we try to keep certain people this far away from us because we don't want anybody else to know we associate with them. Amen. You know, we need to think about that. What does God think about that? Well, the Pharisees, they kind of, whenever they went to, when Jesus went to eat with the sinners, the Pharisees, they jumped up and they condemned him for that. He said, this is the reason I came. I came for the sick. Amen. Maybe it was some of the folks that we won't let get this close to us. Maybe these are the ones God's wanting us to witness to. That's not to say that we are to be associated with pride and any of that stuff. We are to stay away from it. Don't let it get in us. We're in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. Amen. 1 John 2 and 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. We need to let the proud people have the pride. Amen. But God's people don't need to be proud. Amen. We need to be godly. We need to be trying to be like him. I've seen people come in saying, oh, I've got rid of it all. Amen. He keeps using I. Well, he hasn't got rid of it all because there's some pride still there because he's saying he done it. Amen. If you want to be changed, it's only God that can change you. Amen. You've got to, you know what? When you humble yourself before God, it's like pouring water on fire. That's what it does to a proud spirit. When you humble yourself before God, it's like someone taking a hose and just spraying it down, putting it fire. Fire can't coexist with water. Amen. Pride and humility can't coexist together. Amen. One will overtake the other. Amen. A proud heart is self-seeking. And I believe pride is the number one reason that God is silent in the church today. Amen. Because we're all proud. Amen. You take what we are today. We're rich. If we compare ourselves to anybody past the last past 150 years, they was all poor as paupers. So I think many times we might look around and we see all our barns are full and all the things that we have. And we might say in our heart, what need do I have of God? Amen. I don't need God. I'm doing just fine. And the world is, that's where the world is today. They think they don't need God. You try to witness them, first thing they'll say is, well, I'm as good as anybody else I know. I'm as good as you are. You may be. But if you ain't got Jesus Christ, you ain't got it. Amen. You have to repent. I told a man that at work. I think I'm pretty good. He said, I don't do this, I don't do that, and I don't do this. He said, I'm better than some Christians I know. I said, yeah, but the difference between you and a Christian, he's repented and you ain't. And I said, that's the only way that you're going to get into Christ Jesus. I don't care if you're rich, poor, or whatever you are, we all come the same way. Amen. I had some writing here about how to handle your riches here in these notes that I was given. Everybody knows what Walmart is, don't we? What's that guy's name? You notice the ones that answered the first? The women. They know. They know right there. They say, well, they know about Walmart. I remember when we first seen Walmart down south. We went in there, and she was never the same. And she ain't got weary of it yet. And they're all over the place. Now, Sam Walton, he has kind of a thing about himself. He was kind of a humble guy. Hey, man, they say that he employed something like 380,000 people are under in his employment. And they say he drives around a 1979 pickup. You know what? But he don't worry about that. If it goes down, he can get another one, right? He maybe don't let things bother him so much. But if I had $1 billion in the bank, I wouldn't worry about anything either. But he handled it pretty well. And that's kind of an example that you might use, that this is how you should handle the things that God has given you. Don't have a proud heart over them, but thank God for them. Give God all the glory. But you know, Sam Walton, he had a lot of things, and he had this, all this money and all this, and he didn't let it get to him. But having said all of that, Sam Walton comes to Christ the same way you or I do. He has to find an altar of repentance, and he has to come to God the same way. See, God is no respecter of persons. Sam Walton can have all of his billions, and God could care less. He made a plan of salvation, and I know in the world they can buy themselves around things. In the world, the rich can get out of going to prison. Well, one thing they can be sure of, that God knows all about it. And they're not going to get by that with him. But the best example that you'll find, Jesus is the best example of humility. He was the Messiah, God in human form, yet he gave himself willingly to the executioner. He didn't do anything. He gave himself willingly. Now, in this spot, if Sam Walton was found in this, you know what he'd do? He'd buy the best lawyers available. That's where he would draw the line. He said, I ain't done nothing. I ain't dying for this. But God did that. Now, that's the best example of humility. And you know what? He owned it all. He could be equal with God. He was God in the flesh. Talk about humility. That's the humility that most of us here should be seeking after. To be Christ-like. Amen. To be Christ-like. You don't make excuses for your sin. I'm going to read something to you right here. Proverbs 16:5. This is part of my lesson scripture. It says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. We know of one sin that's abomination to the Lord, and we don't allow it. We shouldn't allow pride either in our lives. Though hand join in hand. You know what that means? That means what you see going on today. They're trying to get as many people on their side as they can get. Hand on hand. See, they feel like they've got power if they have numbers. And they're trying to force things onto the Christian people because it makes them feel better about themselves. But if we allow that to happen, we justify them. And when it comes to the day of God, then guess what? We've been partakers of that sin. We become guilty of the same thing. So we have to let God's word be the word. Amen. And everything else be a lie. But he says, though they join hand in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Amen. You get all the people on your side that you want to, but it don't change the word of God one bit. Amen. Many of the denominational churches today, they've decided that they would loosen up in order to get people. Then they kept loosening up. And pretty soon, the word of God have no effect. It has no effect. They just come in, they tell stories, and go back home.
Amen.
But a proud heart is self-seeking. Amen. And it seeks after the things of the flesh. That's what it wants. That's what it craves. That's what it looks for. But a heart is more wicked, amen, than anything that God talks about. He talks about man's heart being wicked. Amen. He talks about that. And here's what the proud heart is, Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. You know, we're the same flesh they were. Amen. You say, well, God destroyed it with a flood. Well, there's a lot of reasons he did that, but the man still come through the flood, and the curse still come through the flood. And man's heart is still the same way as it says it is here. Amen. If he's left to himself. Amen. But we have to have the word of God to be with us. Hebrews 10 and 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. That's our hope. Now, this is the one thing. This is the old test. This is the old heart. And here's going to be a new heart. Amen. A new creature in Christ Jesus. We're going to be sprinkled with this holy water. Not holy water. You might think I'm Catholic. Sprinkled from an evil conscience with bodies washed with pure water. Pure water. Amen. We've got to come the same way. We've got to repent. We've got to go God's way or we go no way. Amen. People like everything, you know, in our own eyes. And I think I've got that wrote down. In our own eyes, you know, man's always amen. All right. Proverbs 16:1, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 2. Proverbs 16 and 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. He's clean. He thinks he's all right. But God tells him he's all wrong. And he has no hope unless he comes through Christ Jesus. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. When I'm weighing the balance, I hope I'm not found wanting. Amen. Verse 3. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. God's going to he's going to give you a new mind. He's going to renew the old mind. The Bible tells us that. Amen. He's going to renew this old mind. And in Romans 12, 1 through 3, put that up on the board for me if you can. Romans 12, verse 1. It's going to tell us here to offer up our bodies a living sacrifice. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. This new creature is going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think more of himself, more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now the problem Satan had, he thought more highly of himself than he ought to. Amen. People today, they don't think there's anything wrong. They can change the word of God to suit themselves. They'll turn it around. If it's not fitting them, they'll put it in another direction. Amen. They don't want to be. They don't want to feel like they have to humble themselves. They want to be able to walk in their pride. You could say maybe they want to have their cake and eat it too. Amen. They don't want to do any walking for God. But once we were lost without hope, and we're still without Christ Jesus, you're lost without hope. Amen. I don't care how good a person you are. I don't care how. And that's not taken away from the work that God expects us to do after we come through the door. That's just saying your works wasn't good enough when you got to the door. Your works wasn't the key that opened that door. Peter was the key that opened that door. And it was Christ Jesus. Amen. He was that key. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, integrity is purged. Amen. Sins are atoned through mercy and truth. It's purged. Amen. This is what God does. And our sins are atoned in Christ Jesus. And after that, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Amen. You know, when you let loose of this guy and you let him do anything he wants to do, he's going to get back to Genesis 6 and 5. His heart's evil. Everything he has there is evil. Romans 6 and 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Now you tell me that's not happening today. The evilness in his heart continues. Every imagination. I still work with the people out there. I still hear their talk. And every once in a while, they'll get religious. And then they'll say things that, you say, where'd they get that? They don't even know. Just like when they crucified Christ. Christ had to say, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. One man said, I'm just like God. I love everybody. Almost blasphemy. And they think by saying that, it somehow makes them unguilty. You know, they say, well, I love everybody. God is love. Well, God is love. But every once, and it's good. There's nothing wrong with preaching about the love of God, but you've got to tell people what God hates also. Amen? Because God expects us to live and walk a different walk after we come through repentance and baptism in his name. But they don't bother them a bit. They'll just rewrite the word of God and go whichever way they want to go. Amen. Like it really doesn't matter. And you know what? It's sad to say, but some of the churches say, go right on. I'll give you Godspeed. But we have to. I mean, I don't believe you preach people out of church. But you still have to tell them the truth and encourage them. Now this, when I first got into church, I got under a pastor that he had said, if you sin one time, if you mess up one time after you receive the Holy Ghost, you can throw in the towel. And I've watched him a little bit. I said, he better get him a towel. Amen. Because he has done some things that wasn't perfect either. See, a man he's all right in his own eye, but God weighs the spirit. We can be all right in our own eyes, but it still don't mean nothing. If you think you got something that's right, then you need to give it the word test. Amen. If you give it the word test, I guarantee you that God is going to convict you of your pride. A man's heart divides, verse 9, 16 and 5, verse 9. A man's heart divides his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, I ain't always right. I get up and devise my way. I get up and make my plans. But it's God that will direct my steps. And he's going to direct my steps through his word. It's going to be his word that's going to make the difference. And you know, someone with a humble heart, that's reading the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they're just humble enough to say, well, maybe I'm wrong. And they can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come to the place one time that I was wrong in my coming to God. The Bible didn't say it was done that way. I had to do my works over. Amen. I repented. But I found out that I wasn't baptized right. Oh, you say, that's a small thing. Hey, that's the biggest thing you're going to find in your walk with God. Amen, because you take on Christ Jesus through baptism. Amen, we're washed in his blood. Amen. Some people say, well, that's just an outer work of an inner experience. It don't look that way to me. So I got rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of my sins. And then I begin to walk in newness of life. I don't know. You say, well, can you be saved without being baptized? Why would I even go there? You all know it. Why would I say, well, I don't think you have to? It's not that way. Amen. People in verse 11, 16, 9, 11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Amen. It don't hurt to be wrong, but it hurts to be wrong and know you're wrong and you stay in it. He that knoweth to do good, to him it is a sin. Amen. I got the first page. How can you teach on pride with one page? I mean, here's how much it takes, and Brother Wells is so good, he gives us all of this information. And I use it to, and I found other things I like, but it's all the same thing that he's putting down here. And you can't get any more help than that. You know, the biggest thing I found a problem with was to get a message. It was to find my direction. Amen. So we get to cheat a little bit. But it's still, I just read and read and read and studied to find out what I did. But I hope I helped you today. It's, the 30 minutes is up. And that's good. I can get out what I need to. Amen. Hope I helped you today. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. God is good. Amen. Thank you for listening to the things I had to say. God bless you.
To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him.
Brother Kellum. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful example that we have in you. There's never a more humble man to walk the face of the earth than the man Christ Jesus. Someone who, if you think about it, had all power in heaven and earth, but yet submitted, allowed himself to be taken and crucified. What a display of humility. Never a proud moment, but in utter humility and meekness and power under control and utter submission. Lord, help me. Help us as a body of believers, God, to be humble. For if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face. How important humility is, Lord. Let pride, God, be done away with in our heart and in our lives, that we would come before you, God. For the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. There's a connection with humility in hearing your voice, God. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God, for your goodness. Classes are returning, and take a short break here between sessions. We invite you to pray, spend some time in prayer.